guys can be seated at this time. We're going to have one more song in just a moment, but we wanted to kind of go through a little bit different process today. It was supposed to be the wrapping up of our series called Beyond Limits, but there's been an unfortunate circumstance that's befallen the Genesis Metro family this week. One of our members, Jimmy Maselli, which one of our church members printed up. He's a New Yorker, so we got Team Maselli going on. If you're wondering why you're seeing all the New York shirts that are going around the building, he went in for not a routine surgery, but not one expected to go poorly or bad. And it took a very dark turn for the worst, and today is probably going to be his last day. And so as a church body, it's so difficult. Some days are just so difficult because how do you minister to all the needs at the same time, you know? Only God's Word and God's Spirit is able to do that. So before we go on to this next song, I wanted you guys to think about with me for just a moment and pray with this family. And today we're going to do something a little different. Instead of just doing church, we want to invite you to participate in being the church today and actively praying for this family. Barring the miraculous, which we invite God to do, three children will say goodbye to their father today, and a wife will have to say goodbye to her husband. And I'm going to tell you, I sat in a hospital room with all kinds of tubes praying over Jimmy this week, and I've known Jimmy now 6, 7, 8 years at Genesis Metro. They walked in as a couple getting ready to sign their divorce decree the next day. Both unbelievers walked into Genesis Metro when we were in a school some 7, 8 years ago, and both accepted Christ. Their marriage was transformed, and everything was changed, and they've been running the coffee bar, faithfully serving for the last 7, 8 years. Matter of fact, you want to know how awesome Jimmy Maselli is? His heart's been working at a 25% rate for the last month, and he's still out there every Sunday serving. And I think sometimes how feeble our excuses are for why we don't have time for God. I hope today that we can be the church that wraps our arms around one of our members. The Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 2, to bear one another's burdens. To bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. I want you to consider, because sometimes we don't know how to exactly do that. We all want to do it, but we all don't know exactly what that process looks like. How can you help a family that some of you don't even know? Well, I'm going to tell you, in the spiritual realm, the Bible allows us in the spiritual realm to ask God, while families walk through dark times, difficult times, desperate times, it allows us room and space to call upon the name of Jesus and ask him to distribute the burdens of those that are hurting and those that are overwhelmed upon the body of Christ. So that when one of our members hurts, we all hurt. The motto of Genesis Metro is, it's all about people. And the reason why we're all about people is because Jesus Christ was all about people. And so we can't really do church right without loving families the way we love the Maselli's. The only difficult part about being a church that actually cares is that it really hurts when someone's hurting like this. So today we're going to invite you as part of the process. We're going to go through a worship service. We're going to sing one more song in just a moment and have a miniature sermon. And then we're going to invite you guys to join us in praying. And these candles that are on the stage, there's stations on the sides and at the back. And we're going to invite every family to join with your loved ones, with your friends, in lighting a candle, bringing it to the stage, and you can kneel down, and we want to offer the prayers of the church body on behalf of this family that is going through an unimaginable situation this morning. Whenever we consider situations like this, I think it's really important to denote an important difference between between us and those outside of believing in Jesus Christ. I was visiting with one of our elders, and there was a group of us sitting around a table as this was all falling out. And one of our elders said, you know, when I was a young man, my family took me down to see my grandmother for the last time. And I was not a believer at this time. And I walked in. When he got there, they're like, well, go in and say your last goodbyes. And he said, I stumbled into this room, and my grandmother was in this state of getting ready to die. And he goes, you know what? I realized at that moment I had nothing to give her. Do you think it makes a difference whether or not we believe in Jesus Christ? How awful would it be to be in a situation where someone needed something so desperately and you were powerless to give it? How important is it for us to walk with Christ so that when people stand in need, you have something inside of you to give? Our Savior is so incredible that not even death was able to hold him. When we look upon people that are in these desperate and dark situations, we hurt because they hurt, but we are not insecure about the outcome. That because our Savior arose on the third day, the Bible says that he laid death in the grave and that he overcame the grave. Therefore, we can have this same confidence that passing from this life is not an ending point, but it is a beginning of all eternity. Some people will mistakenly look at situations like this, and I don't know if you've ever heard people blame the devil for everything. Has anybody ever heard, like, anything bad happens to them, they always like, oh, the devil's after me. No, it's not always the devil. Most of the time it's you, okay? It's your sin, all right? It's your flesh that's doing that. But in this particular case, some people might look at Jimmy's situation and say, look at what the enemy did. No. I'm telling you, the enemy has nothing to do with this situation. If God calls him home, it's only because God was ready for him to be in his presence. That God loves Jimmy so much that he's ready for him to be directly in the presence of God. And that he's our maker. And when he recalls us, we all have an appointment. And you will not be late for this appointment. Some of you that are perpetually late for everything, I assure you, there's at least one appointment that you will not be late for. And I'm telling you, if today's Jimmy's day, where he's going is better than this place. And while we will grieve for the loss, we will celebrate the promotion. Would you guys stand with us, and we're going to sing this song, Overcome. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praise and the prayers of his people. And so we're going to sing this song about overcoming in Christ. And I'm going to ask you to sing it a little differently today. I ask that you not sing it for yourself. I ask that you might sing it to the Lord, but on the behalf of the Maselli family. And you'll see in just a moment to the text that we're going to look at that worship allows us to free God to move. And when we start worshiping, we're going to find out in today's text that God starts winning on our behalf. So what we do here can affect what's happening at the hospital right now. So I ask that you consider your worship today, that it's for God, but I want it to be on behalf of a family that desperately needs to see God's hand. Would you guys join us as we sing? An important lesson I'd like to point out as we get started today. You know, many of us are creatures of habit, and we like a certain level of control in life. And oftentimes I found that God's will doesn't always line up with my plans. Has anybody else had this experience? Have you ever seen that you'd like to have like happen a certain way, and God like shows you like, no, I'm not going to do it that way. And I can tell you that as we were planning out this series, you know, I was looking so forward to preaching a certain sermon today. And then all of yesterday I wrestled because, you know, once you've done all the work, you're like, you know, well, I mean, you know, I mean, God, it'd be so much easier if you just let me preach what I already had in mind. And God was like, no, that's not what we're going to do tomorrow. And so I just want to encourage you in this, that if you ever have to choose between your plans that you have control over and you're comfortable because you made the plan, or going with what will minister to the hearts of people, if you ever have to choose between your control and convenience versus someone's broken heart that you can reach out to, I hope that you would be willing to adjust your schedule, to adjust your time and your energy and your effort and your money, that you might be available to God, that if he adjusts the schedule and it doesn't line up with your planner, that you might be available to be used on his behalf. I hope today that we'll bring honor and glory to him by making a very sharp adjustment to what was going to be the message today. And the irony is this. Last week I said that in the sermon topic of imagined rules, that I felt like there was a lot more to be kind of explored, and that we would kind of do a series on that. And so today is that day. And so today we're going to be talking about a couple of imagined rules that I was made aware of and reminded of this week. And so, number one, many people live according to an imagined rule that we are guaranteed tomorrow. Have you ever noticed that we kind of assume that tomorrow we're going to be here? Has anybody else had this problem, like you assuming? Have you ever noticed that I think that we grow comfortable in that assumption, and it allows us oftentimes to put off till tomorrow what we should do today? Read through the scriptures and see if you won't find this sense of urgency and an argument against entitlement to the life that God has lent you. All right? Let me try to say that again. There is an argument against entitlement to the life that God has lent you. In other words, you are living on borrowed time. And so I was made aware this week that life is precious and it is not guaranteed. In James chapter 4, it says these words, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is but a vapor, here for just a little while, and then it vanishes or disappears." Do you think if we would wake up to this imagined rule, if we came into God's reality of we don't know what tomorrow holds, that it would perhaps inspire some urgency in our lives? Do you think that if you lived every day squeezing the moment for God, that it might change your sense of urgency? For instance, in your relationships, have you ever noticed that sometimes we go through seasons or lulls in our relationships, whether it be our marriages, it could even be in our parenting. And we start to not feel as passionate as we used to feel, whether that's through fighting, arguments, or just, you know, where we quit putting forth the effort, whatever it may be, hurts. These things tend to cause divides, and we get distracted, and we allow this distance to creep in. And just consider for a moment that oftentimes this false reality of believing, well, I'll just get to that later. We'll just fix that. We're just going through a no need in being proactive about the problem. No need in making a plan to offset the problem. I'll just put it off because we'll have plenty of time. And then consider if you took that template and overlaid it upon your relationship with God. Do you think it's possible that any time anybody in here has ever said, you know what, I'd really like to be all in when it comes to my relationship with God. But many people live with one foot in the church, right? And they live with one foot out. That they want the blessings of being around the people of God without being a participant with the people of God. And I want you to know that it is a very dangerous lifestyle to pretend that God doesn't care what you do with today. As a matter of fact, it says in the book of Hebrews that when he wants us to wake up, and he says, behold, today is the day of salvation. That he says, arise, O sleeper, and realize that now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. He says to redeem the time. In other words, God cares how you're spending your life. And I want you to know something, that this situation this week reminded me that God never intended for us to walk alone in this world. That it is critical times like this that we absolutely need a church to be around us and walk with us in order to bear the burden of the pain and the grief that we go through. I encourage you to consider how you are investing your relationship capital. Are you investing it in biblical community so that your family, if they ever, God forbid, should walk through a trial or walk through the valley of the shadow of death or endure an unexpected tragedy, that you would have a community that can rally around you and lift you up during your crisis? I would hope that you are investing in relationships that ultimately have the ability to give you something in your moment of need. And on the flip side, I hope that you're investing in your spiritual life so that you are prepared to give. I want to wrap with the second point, and we're going to kind of unfold. I'm going to really tell it in a narrative in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The imagined rule is this: dark places are permanent. Some of us live under the shadow of this thought. Dark places are permanent. In other words, you feel like you might have a habit or you might be in a situation over which you are powerless to change. I have some great news if that is you today. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'll lay out the story and then we'll dive into some practical application. There's a king of the southern kingdom named Jehoshaphat. For those of you that might not know, Israel started off as one, but due to a power play, it was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was Israel, which largely was into wickedness, and the southern kingdom was Judah. And so that's the tribe that eventually was going to produce Jesus. And so they were the southern kingdom, and they had Jerusalem. And so here was the king of Judah named Jehoshaphat, and all of a sudden his enemies turned on him, and then they surrounded him, and they desired to wipe him off the face of the planet. Now, just like you and I, if our enemies turned on us all of a sudden and we were surrounded and they were numerous and outnumbered us, it would look and feel kind of hopeless. It would start to look dark outside. And what did Jehoshaphat do? The Bible says that he fell on the ground and he called out to God and he proclaimed a fast. And I would like to do that today on behalf of the Maselli family. For those of you that can or will, I would like to encourage us to as a church body, fast today at least until dinner time. And so skip lunch and snacks and all that stuff, and let's fast on behalf of this family. Now many of us have never fasted, so you might not know what's the purpose, Tim, of fasting. I mean, what does it matter? Well, here's the purpose of fasting. Fasting is self-denial. Okay, so you are saying, I know that I would like to fill myself with the physical. And so when you deny yourself physical sustenance, what you're saying is, I am refocusing my hunger. So my hunger is not for food. My hunger is to know the will and to know the word of God. And so I want us today as a church body to seek the will and the word of God, whether specifically for the Maselli family, but I dare say that there's probably some areas of our life that we need to focus on self-denial so that we might know the mind of God. And then the next thing that he does is he appeals to the principles and the promises of God. I want you to see something, that life began to squeeze Jehoshaphat. That darkness began to squeeze Jehoshaphat. Have you ever felt like that in life? That life began to squeeze, began to close in on you? It is so important that you invest in the Word of God. That you put it in, the Bible says to hide His Word in your heart. So that when life begins to squeeze you, out of your lips come the Word of God, the principles and the very words of God. Because if you wait, and the world begins to squeeze you, and you don't have anything inside of you, the Bible says you're like a man who built his house on the sand. When the storms came, that house fell. And so here was Jehoshaphat in the midst of a storm. Life began to squeeze him. And where did he appeal? To his intellect? No. To his prowess? No. To his strength? No. He appealed to the promises of God. And he said, God, your word says this, that they gathered to the house of God. And he said that your word was promised to Abraham and our forefathers that if we were ever in a bad situation, and he begins to name all the bad situations. He said, if we were ever in a famine, or if our enemies by the sword began to attack us, or even if we were in judgment, and if you think about these, there's the natural realm, tragedies and disasters that are happening upon us. And then there's outsiders, that's the sword, other people acting upon us. And then there's the judgment, which is our sin is acting upon us. So really, Jehoshaphat covers every which way you can get in trouble in this world, right? We live in a fallen world, and we live in a fallen environment. Bad things can happen. There are bad people out there that desire to do us harm. And then we, by our own sin, oftentimes put ourselves in bad predicaments. So really, there are all the ways that you can get in trouble, and yet there's only one solution. I love that, right? I mean, isn't that awesome? I mean, isn't this so symbolic of the way it is with Jesus Christ? There are so many ways that we can get in trouble, but there's only one way to get out. So he said, your word says that if we should ever find ourselves in trouble, that if we would come to your house that bears your name, and if we would turn from our sins and turn toward you, that you would hear and that you would save. I have some very good news for you today. I don't know who's against you. I don't know what's against you. And I don't know what you've done. But I can tell you this. It doesn't matter what your problem is. There is a singular solution. That we come into God's house. And I'm telling you, at Genesis Metro, we name the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is what we're about. Jesus Christ is what we do. So if you're in trouble, this is a house that names the name of Christ. And so he said, if you will turn, I will hear and I will say. So here's the formula for getting out of dark places. If you find yourself in trouble, appeal to the Word of God. The next thing that happens is the Spirit comes upon a prophet. And the prophet begins to speak. And he says, I have some news for you, all of Judah. He said, God has revealed to me what the plan is. He says, tomorrow you will not fight. You will go out to the battlefield, but you will not fight. He says, for the battle belongs to the Lord. He will fight for us. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Now, that's pretty awesome. I mean, I don't know if it gets any better than that. I mean, how would you like to be in the battle of your life? The battle of your life. And God say, you know what? I got this one, right? Wouldn't it be awesome if God just stepped in and said, you know what? You just sit this one out. And when you really think about it, in Jesus Christ, isn't that exactly what he did? Isn't that exactly, when we were lost in our sins, when we were undone under the condemnation and the weight of our transgression, God sent his only begotten son who said, you can't do what I can. can do. You can't go where I'm going to go, and you can't offer what I'm going to offer. But if you will stand still, and if you will believe in what I'm getting ready to do, that I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to give my life as the Lamb of God, and on the third day I will take it back up again, because death has no dominion over me. And if you would accept me, you too shall have power over death. You too shall have eternal life. And so God said, you're not going to have to fight for the battle of salvation. Just stand still and watch God work on your behalf. And so here was Jehoshaphat in the battle of his life. The prophet reveals the word of God, and he tells them exactly the path the enemy is going to come up. And so now there's the battle plan. They wake up the next day, they head out to the place that God said. As the army is moving out, Jehoshaphat exclaims something. He says, believe, believe, and God will save. Now, it's interesting to note this, because many times the Israelites came right up to the moment, right up to the moment where they had to move, where they had to act. And every time that faith was called for, it seemed they would falter, and that they would faint, and that they would fall back into their old ways. And I thought it was noteworthy that the king had to be acutely aware of this pattern that had existed throughout the history of his heritage. And so he exclaimed to the people, believe, and God will save. I want to tell you, maybe you just need to be reminded that we're marching out together as one, as Genesis Metro Church, as we are trying to save our city, save the surrounding areas, and expand onto the mission field of Mexico and still working in Honduras, or wherever God may open up in Solomon's Porch in downtown Dallas, or Nehemiah's house, or wherever God should give us territory. And as one, sometimes we just need to remember that God is saying to you the same thing that's worked for thousands of years since the creation of Adam and Eve is the same thing that still works. It doesn't matter what problem you have. If you would just believe, God can move. And so the army begins to march out, and then Jehoshaphat changes up the strategy. Now this is awesome. This is where it gets so good. How do you get out of a dark place that feels permanent? Jehoshaphat says, where are the singers? Where are my shouters? He said, I want you to find all the singers and find all the shouters, and I want you to put them up in front of the infantry. Now I don't know if you've ever gotten to a fight, all right? If you've ever been in a brawl, I've been on a football field where, I'm telling you, people got sent to the hospital, people had concussions, people had broken arms, some coaches were throwing punches. My high school was just a very violent school. And I'm going to tell you, if you were ever going to get into a rumble, you're not looking for the singers. I'm sorry. You're not looking for the shouters. You're looking for the people that are trained for battle, right? People that know how to fight. People that know how to kill. You want people that are on your side, that are tough, rugged individuals. And here's Jehoshaphat with the army marching toward the enemy. And who does he call up? He calls the choir out, folks. He calls the choir and says, put the choir out in front of the soldiers. Now watch this. In verse 22 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says, and when they began to sing, when they began to shout, when they began to worship, what happened? God began to win. If you want to know how to get out of what you're in, you're going to have to worship your way out. There's no other way to get out of a dark place that feels permanent other than to fall on your face, humble yourself before God, and you can worship and get to the other side. You can worship your way out of the dungeon see Paul and Silas in the midnight hour. When they began to worship, the chains fell off. The door opened up and the captives were set free. Here we find ourselves worshiping God on behalf of a family that is going through an unimaginable level of pain, an unimaginable level of suffering. And my heart says, how do you get out of what feels like a trap? How do you provide hope to what feels like hopeless? How do you provide help to a family that feels helpless? And I'm telling you, there's only one way out of the darkness. There's only one way out of the hopeless feeling, and that is to worship your way to the other side. How did Job get out of his situation? He said, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When David lost his son because of his own sin, the people didn't even want to tell him what had happened. And yet, shockingly, when he discovered that his son had passed, he washed his hands and he went up to the house of the Lord. I'm telling you, there's only one way to get to the other side, and that is to worship your way out of what you are in right now. Now watch this. They didn't even know what was happening on the other side of where they were worshiping. They couldn't see the enemy. They couldn't see what God was doing, but God could see their worship. Now try to let your mind grab hold of this truth this morning. What you do in here affects things that you can't even see. God is fighting outside of this room on behalf of lost souls that you are going to come in contact with. There are people that are discouraged and are in darkness, and what you do in here today, whether or not you worship your way out of this moment, whether or not you draw closer to God, will directly impact whether or not you'll have something to give tomorrow. We need a church. We need a church that when we find ourselves attacked, when we find ourselves judged, when we find ourselves in famine, that our first thought is that we appeal to the principles and the promises of God's word. That we fall on our face and we say, "God, help us." Because we don't know what to do. We don't have the power to win this fight. And the only thing we know to do is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, is to put our eyes on you. If you want to know how to help the Maselli family, worship on their behalf, pray on their behalf, and ask God to reach into the burden that I'm sure is unbearable and distribute the load upon the body of Christ. And I assure you right now, as they're watching this service streaming online, that they will feel comfort and peace that surpasses all understanding. And only God's people can give that gift. I'm going to ask you guys to stand as our band comes out. And we're going to go through this time of prayer for this family. And here's where we get to be the church and not just do church. If you'd like to make your way to the candle stations with your family at the front or at the back or on the sides or at the back. And we want you to be able to light a candle and bring it to the stage. And you can kneel and pray. You can stand and pray. You can pray at the prayer station if you want. But we want to ask our church to participate in this process this morning. So at this time, you guys are dismissed to the stations as our band leads us during this time of reflection.
Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Father, we lift your name on behalf of our friend Jimmy, on behalf of Joy, Tyler, and Nathan, and Mikey, and the rest of the family, Lord God, as they sit at his bedside right now, worshiping with us. Father, as a church body, we lift up praise. We lift up your name and your righteousness and plead, Lord God, for miraculous healing or miraculous comfort. Putting our sights on you, Lord God. Knowing, Father, as the psalmist wrote, though we only walk in the shadow of death, because we know and trust the security of Jim, that his faith in you is secure, that darkness does not stand, that for him eternity begins with you, Father. Lord, we love you. We worship on their behalf today, Lord God. We lift up them in praise to you, Father God, crying out for you.
John 14, verse 1 to 3, it says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If there were not so, I would not have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." Father in heaven, we thank you for your promises that you have given all of us through your scripture. Because it's only through your scripture that we know we have hope. For we know, like in this life right here, Lord, we're only passing through. This is not our destination. We are only passing through our life in this earth. We are spiritual beings living a human experience. And you are preparing a place for every single one of us. Even for the Maselli's family, for the kids, the wife, there's a place prepared for every single one of them. And when that time comes, as Pastor Demon said, that appointment come, you will come for each one of them. So we pray for strength in the meantime while we're walking on this earth. We have to mourn, we will mourn. But praise be to God, we will worship you the next morning. Though pain come in the night, joy will definitely come in the morning. And if it don't come tomorrow, then the next morning. But we keep looking for that joy in our heart, for you give us everything to make it through this life on earth, dear Lord. So we thank you daily for that family right now that's going through one of the toughest times of their life. For they will always know that they've never, in their heart they may not know that death is nothing but a doorway to paradise. And that's why we got to look at life through the lenses of the scripture. For there's never an end. There's always will to meet again. And that's the beauty of the eternal life that Christ has given us through the death, burial, and resurrection. That he made us know that the eternal life is available to everyone who dare to believe him. There will never be an end for any one of us who believe in his name. This is why it's so important for everyone to share the gospel, to learn the word of God, and know what is in it, to share it with those who are in need of hope. For you have chosen every single person on this earth for a life better than what's here, Lord. Until we know and understand within our heart that there is a life waiting for us in heaven, we will never be able to grasp that we only pass it through. So if there's pain, then let it come and let it go. For we pray, Lord Father in heaven, that your promises will remain. Let the seed of God be planted in every one of our hearts.